Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Whoever in our government leaked that information is guilty of treason. And I think anything less than execution is too kind a penalty. They have put American lives at risk. They put relationships that will take decades to rebuild at risk. And they knew full well that they were handling sensitive documents.
Former Arkansas governor and Republican presidential hopeful Mike Huckabee on the WikiLeaks State Department cables and what he'd like to see happen to the leaker. Meanwhile, U.S. ambassadors the world over are scrambling to do damage control, and our first guest today is a former ambassador, none other than Joseph Wilson. You might know him best for his finding before the Iraq War that Saddam Hussein did not share nuclear technology with Africa, and for a famous leak that mattered to him, Dick Cheney's office leaking the identity of Wilson's CIA agent wife, Valerie Plame, to try and discredit Wilson and his findings. Maybe you've seen the new movie Fair Game about that leak and the whole Plame affair. We'll talk about both things. Ambassador Wilson, thanks so much for coming on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Well, thanks. It's good to be back with you.
What was your first reaction as a former diplomat seeing all these State Department cables released by WikiLeaks?
Well, I think I'm really very ambivalent about the whole thing. On the one hand, it's very clear from a lot of what you read that stuff is just way overclassified and remains classified for far too long. On the other hand, as somebody who used to be in this business and used to do these reports, my concern is that those of my colleagues who are still in the field doing this are going to temper their comments for fear that they may actually come out in public. And God knows you want to have a candid exchange of views between your ambassadors in the field and the White House or the Secretary of State in Washington.
It's interesting. Go ahead.
So
I'm
the
sorry.
To which that is damaged, I think it's unfortunate for the role of diplomacy.
On that point, columnist Ezra Klein, blogging for The Washington Post, and he's very much of a foreign policy liberal and critical of U.S. foreign policy much of the time, as you may know. Ezra Klein wrote, Assange isn't whistleblowing or leaking. Both of those are targeted acts focused on an identified wrongdoing or event. He's simply taking the private and making it public with relatively little in the way of discrimination. If he's really effective, the likely outcome won't be that people know more, but that they know less, as major institutions, both public and private, will stop sharing their information so widely internally and stop writing so much of it down. So I gather you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And we've already seen that when I was in the White House, when I was at the National Security Council, the reluctance even to share, even to send emails to each other, because emails are ultimately could be, you know, could be used in court. And so there is already, I think, a tendency to not to write as much down as perhaps is useful for future historians.
Let me go down a few of the specific WikiLeaks revelations and ask what you think the impact could be of these things being known. And listeners will have a few minutes for phone calls from you. Not too many because we have a lot to do this hour, but we can take a few phone calls for Joe Wilson this morning. Maybe you saw Fair Game. It is fair game to comment on that or anything related to WikiLeaks. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So the revelation that diplomats acted as spies, starting in the Bush administration but continuing under Obama, being asked to collect personal information about other diplomats at the UN and in countries where they're stationed around the world, ranging from frequent flyer miles, numbers, to their DNA. Did you know about that?
Well, DNA was never anything that I was asked to try and collect. But we have always had a biographic reporting program in our embassies where reporting officers are supposed to gather personal details on people. It's information is power. It's very helpful to understand where the person you're meeting with is coming from. You know, diplomats rotate out every couple of years. So if you don't have a biographic reporting program, you basically have to reinvent the wheel every 2 or 3 years.
I'm trying to think of how they would collect the DNA of their fellow diplomats. You know, after you shake hands, you kind of wipe off a few skin cells. Or here's a lovely spittoon. Would you eliminate in this, please?
My understanding is what this really was an intelligence community directive, which was directed to all of the various intelligence communities, of which the State Department is one. So I would not anticipate, frankly, that diplomats would be in the business of collecting DNA. If you really needed somebody's DNA, you probably use different methods to get at it than classic diplomacy.
So is this reprehensible to you as a former diplomat?
What, the leaks?
Well, no, the particular activities that the diplomats were called on to do, this blurring the line between being an ambassador and being a spy.
Well, again, it's the biographic reporting program is one that's been in place for a long time. It's very, very effective. It's very helpful to diplomats when they come into a new post to understand the character, what the people that they're going to be dealing with, to have some insight into what motivates them and what concerns them.
So you think too much is being made of this in the press then?
Oh, yeah. Sure. And again, I mean, I think it's sensationalist to talk about DNA. It's not something that a diplomat classically does, but there are other communities in the intelligence world that, if in fact it was necessary, they would be the ones who would be doing it.
Another one from WikiLeaks is the location of U.S. nuclear weapons in Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Turkey. Do you think that matters to U.S. national security that's now out there?
Well, no, I think the problem on that one is whether or not the countries where we have nuclear weapons have shared that information with their own populations. And if they haven't, it is potentially embarrassing for them if, in fact, we are in a somewhat secret relationship as to the placement of and location of those weapons.
Do you think anything in these cables hurts the U.S.'s diplomatic position in the world, that is, harms the ability to achieve the foreign policy goals that the government has set out to achieve, whether it has to do with Iran, whether it has to do with Afghanistan, whether it has to do with Pakistan or North Korea, any particular negative impact or even maybe positive impact? Sometimes the truth sets you free, you know, and then things start to happen now that these things are made public. So anything negative or positive in terms of actual impact on achieving foreign policy goals?
Well, obviously on the negative side, the problem you have with some of these leaks is sources and methods. And that's where you really get into where it's dangerous for people who share information with us because they believe in what we're doing, but they're doing so at some personal risk. We've now blown their covers, much as what happened to my wife when the Bush administration leaked her name. So that is the downside of these leaks. The upside, I think, is as Secretary Clinton tried to point out, as embarrassing as some of these more candid comments may be, it is now pretty clear the extent to which we have been working diplomatically and have been engaging friends and allies around the world on critical questions ranging from Korea to Iran. On the Korea side, I think it's too bad that things that were at perhaps a rather delicate stage in terms of discussing the future of the North Korean regime now appear to be on the front pages of newspapers, and that may jeopardize ongoing discussions on that matter. And I think more broadly, what will happen is that people will be more guarded in their comments to American diplomats, and so the information that is exchanged will be less candid than it might otherwise have been had the foreign official believed that he was speaking in confidence and what he was saying was not going to end up in newspapers.
Former U.S. Ambassador Joseph Wilson, our guest on WNYC, talking about some of the diplomatic and foreign policy implications of the WikiLeaks. And, of course, he's the subject of the new movie Fair Game about the Bush administration leaking the identity of his CIA agent wife, Valerie Plame, around the time of the run-up to the Iraq War. Let's take some phone calls for Ambassador Wilson, 212-433-WNYC. And Robert in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello. Robert, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes,
okay.
Now I got you.
I have a question for Wilson, Ambassador Wilson. I want to know how he feels about this whole cult of personality that's surrounding Julian Assange and how that affects, you know, the coverage of these things and whether one person should really be invested with all this, you know, power that they've given him.
Well, I must say he's a curious character, and it just strikes me that there is much more to this than Mr. Assange and some private or corporal in the U.S. Armed Forces. I would not be surprised to learn that the intelligence community is trying to figure out the counterintelligence community, who really is behind this and who's doing this.
You think it's not just this private Bradley Manning?
I find it hard to believe that somebody at that level would have that sort of access to this treasure trove of documents, particularly documents that are not in his immediate area of interest.
How about the intense reaction to Assange from people in this country and from people around the world? We played what Mike Huckabee said. Actually, that was really about whoever leaked the information being guilty of treason. But listen to what University of Calgary professor and former Canadian Conservative Party leader Tim Flanagan said yesterday. Canada, we haven't heard much about Canada. We're hearing about Iran and obviously Iraq and Afghanistan and places like that. But there are leaks here pertaining to Canada that are driving Canada crazy right now. And listen to what Tim Flanagan said about Assange.
Well, I think Assange should be assassinated, actually. I think Obama should put out a contract and maybe use a drone or something. You know, there's no good coming of this. I agree some of the stuff is quite titillating to read. I was strictly struck by the revelation.
Tom, that's pretty harsh stuff. Just for the record, that's pretty harsh stuff.
Well, I'm feeling very manly today.
So hearing that, maybe he was joking about sending out a drone. But this is the intensity of the reaction to Julian Assange, Ambassador.
Yeah, I find that's a little bit hysterical. Take a deep breath.
Bruce in Stony Brook, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. My issue is similar for Mr. Wilson. The news media has been cheerleaders for the Iraq War. They've accepted the information. They've been spoon-fed from the government. This WikiLeaks seems to be the only people that are providing real information to the American public. And now we have Mike Huckabee and Peter King calling for the death penalty for these people. And I think crimes were committed. But in perspective, where were they when your wife, Valerie Plame, was having her professional career destroyed by treasonous leakers? And I would just take comment from that.
Ambassador, sure. Go ahead.
Well, if you take a look at if you go see the movie, Peter King is featured in the movie speaking about this matter in various interviews. And, of course, he was singing a much different tune then. He was really the party. He was one of the mouthpieces of the Republican right that was out there trying to make this whole story about me rather than about their 16 words, their lies to the American people. So yeah, I mean, I think Peter King is not credible as a spokesperson on this particular matter.
Have you seen Fair Game? How many stars would you give it?
Have I seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, I have seen it, sure. I'd give it 5 stars out of 5. I think it's a great, it's a good story. It's a good Washington thriller. It's it's accurate, an accurate tale of our times. end of the story what they put us through, what the administration put us through.
Did you get to consult on how this movie about you and your wife was made?
Well, the director and the screenwriters were keenly interested in having it hew as close to the actual facts as possible while still being a Hollywood motion picture. So early on, for the purposes of accuracy, we were consulted frequently. Obviously, there comes a time when the director takes over and it becomes more the director's movie than our story. So we were probably less involved later on. In the writing of the script and in meeting with the characters who are going to play us, and in discussing how it was going to be shot and what the stories were going to be drawn from, we were consulted in all of that.
Kit in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Ambassador Joseph Wilson. Hello.
Thanks for taking my call. The movie has one omission. It's a wonderful movie. I'm glad it was made. But Colin Powell's address to the UN is not in the movie, and I think it's a significant part of the story.
Ambassador?
Well, if you recall, when Secretary Powell went up to the UN, he did not use the allegation of uranium sales from West Africa or from Niger to Iraq. While his speech at the UN I think in retrospect he would agree was lamentable in that it was not totally accurate. It is part of the broader story, indeed, about going to war, but it was not such a part of our particular story.
Also not mentioned, Judith Miller, the New York Times reporter who was fed information by Scooter Libby and even spent some time in jail, not mentioned in the movie.
Yeah, I think the press gets a little bit of attention. I think a lot of what you see, you obviously had to pick and choose from a story that went on for several years, which of the vignettes you were going to include. And I think there was no particular reason, again, to bring the press in any further to this than was done. And certainly the director didn't feel the need to.
Mary in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Joe Wilson. Hello.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, hello?
Yes.
Yeah, Richard Armitage was the actual leaker. Why isn't that ever mentioned? He worked with Colin Powell. And also, number two, the left hypocrisy as usual. They're outraged over Valerie Plame and all this nonsense when it was Richard Armitage, but they're not outraged about Julian Assange.
Actually, it's
Assange,
not.
Whatever his name is, WikiLeaks. Find the left hypocritical. So where's Joe Wilson, the liar? You knew it was Richard Armitage. You knew that, and everybody knew that. You piled up on Scooter Libby. You and your wife
breath.
Are liars.
Deep
You're
breath.
A hypocrite.
Mary?
Take a deep breath.
But what about
actually, Rich Armitage was one of the leakers. But as the prosecutor who prosecuted Scooter Libby made very clear in his public comments, the reason that he felt that there was a cloud over the office of the vice president, that there was a conspiracy to defame and damage the reputation of Joe Wilson, and the cloud was over the office of the vice president and over the vice president himself. That's not me speaking. That's the special prosecutor who investigated this for several years.
How does it feel to be played on the big screen by Sean Penn?
Sean is obviously it's an honor to be played by an actor who's really at the top of his profession. And more than that, Sean is a very thoughtful and intense individual. So I have a hard time seeing myself in his portrayal, although other people have said that he does a good job of portraying me, including my wife says that.
Well, that was a nice, serious answer. But, you know, not many people get to say they were played on the big screen by Sean Penn.
No,
so congratulations.
And I'm certainly fully cognizant of how weird this everything is associated with me and this whole story. So I try and keep I try and keep firmly fixed in my mind the fact that whatever damage they did to my family and myself is nothing compared to what they've done to those who serve this country, particularly those who serve it in uniform and have now been in two wars for the past decade.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, thank you very much for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Good to be with you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, we have former Senate Budget Committee Chairman Pete Domenici, former Republican senator from New Mexico. He is co-chair of an Alternative Deficit Reduction Commission, and we have one of his Democratic members as well. Among their proposals, turn Medicare into a voucher system. Stay with us.